Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message. And today we're going to keep going with this series, Making Change. And I've been saying it for the past couple weeks now. I really believe this series has the potential to change our lives. At the same time, it's the series that has the potential to rub us the wrong way. Every single Sunday, coming here talking about money and discovering God's ways for us. And today we're going to talk about giving, what it means to actually be open-handed with our finances, giving through a local church, and why that matters in our lives. And maybe for you, each one of these principles is landing a little differently. Like in week one, we learned less is more. You knew it's time to bag up some of the clothes and get them out of the closet, right? It's time to give away a few things. Last week, we talked about how stress is bad and debt leads to stress, and stress is not good in our lives. And I'm praying that you were challenged by the words of Dave Ramsey to get on a plan and start experiencing financial freedom. Well, today we're going to talk about this third principle, but I love for all of us to say these four things together. They're going to be on the screen, but I'm sure you know them because we're in week three. But let's say these things together. These are the things we're discovering. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. I'm going to say it one more time, nice and loud. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. So next week, you've got to be here because we're going to talk about what tomorrow is all about, and investing and saving up and legacy. But today we're going to talk about this third one, and it's that giving is good. In fact, just say that one with me. Giving is good. Giving is good. In fact, to set the framework, I want to remind you of the words of Jesus. Maybe you've heard these before. We read in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are they? Let's say this whole thing together. It is more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you have heard that before, or some version of, yeah, hands are going up all over the space, right? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, I want you to pay attention here. Jesus is not saying it's not a blessing to receive, right? So like next month when you start receiving Christmas gifts, no, I'm trying to be blessed. Don't give me anything. It's not, Jesus isn't saying that. It's not that it's not a blessing to receive. It's not that we shouldn't receive things, that we shouldn't enjoy things. But what he's saying is if we're going to put the emphasis and the blessing on an either or, and I don't really care for either ors. I'm always looking for both ends. But if you have to go either or, Jesus says there's more blessing when it comes to giving. How many would say you know that's just true in your own life? Like you have those stories where it's more of a blessing to give, right? I don't know how many of us could have emotional consumption stories. Man, when I brought that new TV into my house, I wept. I felt the presence of the Lord. It's the most joyous of occasions. And I slipped on those Jordans for the first time. It was like the peace of the gospel around my feet. We don't have those consumption. It's like, yeah, I got a nice car. I drove it off the lot, and I got into an accident. How did that happen? Right? So we have those things where stuff becomes stuff, and it's just, man, it doesn't last, but I'm sure all of us have those moments, I pray you do, where you remember, man, it was a blessing to give in that moment. It was a blessing to be a part of a church. Like our church today at 5:30 this evening, we're going to have a homeless population right where you are in this building enjoying a good meal and sleeping indoors on a very cold night. Like, we're blessed to do things like that. In fact, I want to point out something. This past week, we set a goal to bring in enough food to fill up 30 of these guys. Like, this was our goal, to have 30 baskets. Blaze Church, your radical generosity, we actually gave away 50 of these things. So we didn't just do 30, all of them with a gift card in it so people can buy a turkey. I mean, just, we went to the middle school on Thursday, and they were blown away. Like, they were just completely blown away by radical generosity. You were blessed this past week to be a part of a giving and generous church. And so today, I really just want to reinforce the culture that already exists here. We really believe it's way more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I want to start off with a question that often comes up in the conversation as it relates to financial giving. Maybe you've never asked this before, and so I'm just going to kind of throw a thought into your head, but maybe you have. Maybe this is something that holds you back from financial giving through your local church. And what I mean by that is if Blaze Church is your church, this is your local church. So here's the question that often comes up. Should I be giving through my local church, or is it okay to redirect my tithe to other ministries and organizations? So let me explain some of the words there. I'm going to talk about what a tithe means
in just a few moments, but it's really just the first 10%. So really the question is it okay if I take my first giving and give it to another organization I'm passionate about, or do I have to give it through my local church first? And here's how I'll respond to that. I believe that Christians, if you're a Christ follower, you should not only give through your local church. Like if God stirs your heart to an organization that's meeting needs that you're really passionate about, great. But I also believe that as believers, we should first give through our local church. Does that make sense? So it's not just only give through your local church, but really first give through your local church. Well, is that just my opinion or is that in Scripture? Well, I see all throughout Scripture that the people of God gave through what God established, depending on where they were in human history. What I mean by that is in the Old Testament, before Christ came and was the temple, he said, now I'm the temple. Before that, the people of God gave through the temple, what was established by God. And through the temple, needs were met, the poor were taken care of, the priests were taken care of. All of this happened. The foreigners were taken, all this type of social justice that we're crying out for as a society, it was actually happening through the people of God. And then when you fast forward to the New Testament, after Jesus ascended and he established the local church, you see believers came and brought, it says in Acts, to the feet of the apostles. They kind of just laid down their finances, and it was through churches that were set up that needs were taken care of, right? Through the church of Jerusalem, through the church in Antioch, through the church in Macedonia and Corinth. Constantly the people of God were setting aside a sum of money, we read in Corinthians, on the first day of the week, and they would give it through their local church. In fact, I want to get this into our heads. We don't give to a local church, but we give through a local church. And let me explain what that means. When you give through Blaze Church, because I can only speak of our church here, when you give, you're seeing what's happening with those finances. Like today, we're going to see physical people in this space whose needs are being met who don't have a home. Like right now, you're enjoying, we're not in the dark and the heat's on and we're enjoying things. Well, that's happening. Environments are being created for people to know God. Right now, children are downstairs discovering God in intentional environments. Now we're partnered with ARC, so every single month we're supporting other churches. We do global work. In fact, I shared at our legacy dinner, we have this goal of $30,000 by December 13th, but what comes in over that goal, we're not just keeping for us, we're actually using to help a church in Africa get started. I think that's worth celebrating, that we're saying we're going to make sure that we're continuing to give. Why? Because when you give through your local church. Now, with all of that, yet there's still this tension around giving. In fact, I was sharing with someone after the 9, what do we do here, 9 o'clock or 9:30? Wait, 9 o'clock. I don't know. I saw different stuff in my head. We got different times coming up. I was sharing with someone after the 9 o'clock that for a lot of people and a lot of pastors, there's like this struggle and this tension to share a message on giving. And I said, I don't feel that. I don't know if I should feel awkward or not. And the person just affirmed and said, well, that's because we already have a radically generous culture here. Like, I'm not surprising you with anything. This is already our culture. We already give. And so now I just kind of want to reinforce why we give. And yet with all of that, I read a few statistics. How many times can you say that? Statistics this week that says since 1990, 50% of giving, religious giving, they said, so giving through a church, is down. So since 1990, it's down 50%. People don't give any longer through a local church. In fact, currently, the believer, the Christian, gives on average 2.5% of their income through their local church, 2.5%. And I saw that and I said, why is that? I thought of a couple of reasons. The first reason I think why we struggle with giving through our local church is because maybe we're struggling financially, right? Like it's just really hard for us to give away money when we're saying, I'm already living paycheck to paycheck. I could barely meet the bills as it is. I've got a whole lot of debt. And that's why last week was so important. If that's where you are right now, you've got to start taking steps and get on a plan to be on a budget so that you can live with financial freedom. But I think the second reason is even more applied as to why people don't give through a local church, and that's because of manipulation and abuse. Well, that's just because maybe at some point you saw someone that was dressed maybe even nicer than me, although I think I'm dressed pretty nice today. And they kind of were pounding something, and they were saying, if you just sow 100, you're going to reap 1,000. Brother, it's always a brother after that, right? It's just, sister, God's telling you to sow a seed today. And I understand if that's been your experience and you've been under manipulation of Scripture and pressure, and here's what you have to give. If I was where you are and that's your experience, I would be very slow to give as well through a local church. I wouldn't trust right away. So what I'm asking you to do is, if you don't know me, I'm asking you to just hear God's word this morning. And there are people in this space who have been a part of this church for over 5 years now, and I believe that we steward the finances that come through this church really well. If you believe that, say amen. I believe that we do, and I don't just say that because I'm the lead pastor here. No, I've got a team of people. We have our advisory team, our board, our oversight team, our financial team. We all look through this, and we make decisions as how to steward, which really means manage the money that's trusted and given here to make the biggest kingdom impact. And so here's the question that I want to answer today with our time together, and it's simply this. What is giving? And it seems like such a simple answer, but have you ever tried to answer a simple question without using the word in the question? Or like when your kid asks, like, what's giving? Well, giving is when you give. Okay, give me something more there. Right? You can't use the word in the question to answer it. So we're going to play a little game together. Have you guys ever played the game Taboo before? We're going to play a little Taboo right now. So if you've never played this, I got to try to get you to say the word on the top of the card, but I've got 5 words that I can't use. So let's see how good we are in the service. Okay, so here we go. All right, so when I have this, and if you have dogs, I don't like this because I start to...
Allergy,
yes, thank you. I like you. Notice I didn't say I don't like you or don't like your dogs. I have allergies. Okay, this is a type of bug that's got a lot of not arms. Yes, good job. Look at how fast that was. And now if I sound dumb up here, it's because I can't say legs or insect or all these other things. Okay, one more. All right, so this is a type of water vessel that goes below. There it is. Awesome. All right, so give a hand for Joe and Rachel. They really played that game well. First of you guys, this is crazy. Let's get to the Bible. We're going to get to the Bible right now, okay? But what I want to do is I want to take some time to go through Scripture, and I want to actually give you 6 definitions of what giving is without actually giving you the word giving. I want to show you how deep giving is, like the depth of it. Like when you make the decision to worship God through your financial giving, through a local church, what is that all about? So we're going to read the words of Paul. Now, Paul was an apostle. He started churches. He saw the resurrected Savior. When he wrote, it was Scripture. And he takes time to encourage the church in Corinth, the Corinthians, on giving. And he takes chapters 8 and 9 of his second letter to just go into this long teaching about what giving is. And so we're going to find 6 definitions there for what giving is. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 2. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Now, let me pause there. What Paul is doing is the theirs are the Macedonian believers. He's going to use another church to be an example for the Corinthian church. So he says, their poverty, he's talking about the Macedonian church. And here's what he says, for I testify that they gave as much as they, the Macedonians, were able and even, what's the word there? Beyond their ability. Right. So what he's saying is there was this church in Macedonia that gave beyond their ability. They were in the middle of a trial. They were in the middle of something severe, and yet they gave beyond what looked like they could give. The first definition I'd love for you to write down is this: giving is a sacrifice. By very nature of giving, giving is a sacrifice. Like maybe you said this before, I know I have, but if I start giving, I might have to cancel Netflix, I might have to stop this subscription, I may not be able to eat out as much as I enjoy eating out, to which Scripture would just say, yes. That's kind of the point. The giving isn't supposed to just be, well, when I have a little bit of extra, then I will give. No, giving in itself is a sacrifice. It's to say, I'm going to go without so that I might be a blessing to others, so that I might be a part of what my local church is doing. And Paul says the Macedonian believers, that's exactly what they were doing. In the middle of a trial, in the middle of something severe, they say, we're going to sacrifice here. We're going to give beyond what we're actually able to give. I'd say this, that's why they were radically generous. That's what it means to be radically generous. Like, I don't want to just be a little bit generous. I don't want to be kind of generous. Radical generosity says, yeah, I'm going to go without. It's going to be a sacrifice, but it's going to be a part of a blessing for others. He goes on to say this, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. Look at those words there. Look, it says they urgently pleaded for the privilege of giving. Like, think about the things in your life that are a privilege to you. Things that you'd say, man, I don't deserve this. This is just so amazing that I get to be a part of this. Hopefully you're saying that about your spouse. It's just a privilege to be married. It's a privilege to have these children. It's a privilege for this home. It's a privilege for my job. All of this, all these privileges, and the Macedonian believers say this, we don't want to miss out on that. Like, they're actually pleading with Paul, yes, we're in the middle of a trial, but we don't want to miss out. Why? Because our second definition, giving is a privilege. It shouldn't be a burden. It shouldn't be something that, oh man, now's the offering time. Now I got to be a part of this. I don't want to be shamed. I don't want to be looked at wrong. No, giving is a privilege. And that's why we say so often here, we don't give to get. What do? We get to give. It's an attitude change to say, no, it's a privilege to be a part of this thing. To know that this past week, our radical generosity enabled 50 families to receive baskets filled with food. That's a privilege. To say, no, my giving makes it so that children can experience God's love on their level in environments that are created for them. It's a privilege to give. Now, what Paul does next is he stops talking about the Macedonians and comparing them to the Corinthians. Instead, he speaks directly to the Corinthians on why they should give. Now, what's interesting is Paul has the ability, if he wanted to just kind of hike up his robe. That's what they wore. And, I'm the Apostle Paul, right? Just kind of clear his chest a little. I'm the Apostle Paul coming to you live from some prison cell, and I'm commanding you to give. And he could have used the authority of God's word. He could have broke out some Old Testament passages. He could have given so many reasons to give, but he doesn't do any of that. Look what he does. He actually starts off by saying, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. He says, listen, Corinthian believers, I'm not going to tell you what you have to do. I'm not going to command you to give. I do want to test the way that you love by comparing it to what the Macedonians are doing. But then he gives us the reason. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Now understand, Paul is not talking about physical wealth and health in this moment. He's not talking about, come on, you understand that through Jesus, you're just going to get a whole lot more money. No, in the conversation about money, he brings in the best motivation, which is the gospel. Our third definition, giving is the gospel. That when we give, we are reminded God gave first. Like, I want you to start to get that in your head, whether your giving is automated and you give online or every week you give a check or whatever it looks like, I want you to make a conscious effort. And I got to get better at this too because mine's just automated. But I want to remember, hold on a second, every time I give, it's because God gave first. It is a tangible reminder with finances of the gospel. In fact, I heard Pastor Robert Morris, he preaches an incredible series called The Blessed Life about giving and financial giving. And he said that Jesus really was God's tithe in just the respect that God gave first. Like, he sowed Jesus first. We read in scripture that he was the firstborn of creation so that we might all be resurrected with Christ as well. Like, when we give, we're reminding our hearts of the gospel. It's just powerful. That's a powerful motivator. Not fear, not guilt, not shame, not that prosperity that says if you give, then you're going to get more. No, it's none of that. It's I'm giving because Jesus died for me, because my God gave for me first. So now we get to the question that's probably the most popular question as it relates to giving, and it's how much? Has anyone here ever thought that before? It's okay, it's church. You could be honest. No one's going to shame you. There's a couple little sneaky hands. Like, I don't want to be too... How much? How much am I supposed to give? I've heard this word tithe used before. Is it that? What does that mean? What percent? What amount? How much? I just want to read you the words of Paul in the middle of his teaching to the Corinthian believers. He says this in Acts 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Look at this for a minute. There's a lot that Paul is saying, and there's a lot that Paul's not saying here. Like, he's not just coming out and telling the Corinthian believers, okay, here's the amount, here's the dollar, here's the percent. But at the same time, what has he told us so far? Giving is a sacrifice, right? That we should actually feel it. Like, it shouldn't just be the extra. If you're waiting to the end of the month to see what's left, there's always more month than there is money, right? It's just kind of like, oh, I'll just give at the end. I'll see once everything else is done. No, there's a decision. He says each of you should decide. Like, beforehand, you should know this is the percent of my income that I am going to give. There's a decision there. It's a sacrifice. He says do it cheerfully, not under compulsion, not under manipulation, not because you have to, but because you truly get to. And so with all of that and with the gospel motivator, the best thing that I would say is ask the Holy Spirit. Don't ask me, because I'm just going to tell you, ask him. Ask God, like really ask him, God, what would you have me give? In light of the gospel, right, if that's our motivator, in light of the amount of God's grace that you have come to know and how he has changed your life, what is he calling you to give financially? Now, we're going to zoom out a little bit because we don't want to just stay in one passage. When we look throughout scripture, this word tithe comes up. And tithing really at its heart simply means the first 10%. So there's our decision. It's not at the end. It's the first. And there's a percentage. The word tithe literally means 10%. And we see this before the law. So this wasn't just something that God mandated to the people of Israel. Before the law, there were people who tithed to the Lord. They gave their first 10%. It's supported in the law. In fact, God even spoke through the prophet Malachi to remind and encourage the people of God, hey, you're robbing me through tithes and offerings. Offerings would be kind of beyond that 10%. Jesus, when he walked this earth, he actually said from his lips, you should tithe. He told the people he was around, yeah, you should tithe. And also, don't forget about mercy and justice and the other things that matter. So don't just say, because I gave a couple dollars, I could just be the meanest, stingiest person in my attitude and in my love. No, it's not that. But what I love is often when you see people changed by Jesus, changed by the gospel, the tithe doesn't become the ceiling, it becomes the floor. And what I mean by that is you see a man named Zacchaeus who was changed by God's love, and he gave 50% away. He said, I'm going to sell half of my possessions. He said, I'm going to give back to people I stole from four times the amount when the law said he only needed to give back what he stole plus 20%. You see in Acts chapter 2 and 5 and other places where the believers, the church, are selling and just bringing in so much. And so it's really, it comes down to what Paul says, a cheerful heart. One that is not arm twisted, trying our best to find what's the lowest amount that I can give God and still get by. Come on, we learned this in the first week. You can't buy your way into heaven. This has nothing to do with purchasing salvation. Jesus Christ did everything that you need so that you might be saved and be made new. And giving a little bit more money isn't going to erase any more sins. And giving a little less isn't going to keep any sin in your life. Jesus is the one who forgives of our sins. And when we understand that gospel truth, it should motivate us to be radically generous. Now, I'll share with you my personal experience. I was raised to tithe from a very early age. I can still remember as a kid getting money in for birthdays. If there was $100, $10 was going right through the church. And you might say, well, that seems a little rules and legalistic, but I'll tell you, on this side of parenting, I'm grateful for that. And I still live by that principle. And in fact, that's how we raise our children, that when they come into money, we take the first 10%, say, okay, we actually do a 10-10-80 with our family. So you're going to give away 10% through the local church, you're going to save 10%, and then 80% you get to live on the rest. It's the little Dave Ramsey principle that we use. But for me, it's just something I see in Scripture. I'm not trying to say, well, that's Old Testament, that's there. It works. In fact, it's my floor. So I just know, like, if money comes my way, okay, the first 10% is going right through the local church. And then I ask the Holy Spirit, is there more you want me to give? And oftentimes, he'll show another area. Does that make sense? Is that okay that I said that? Well, I said it anyway, so I hope it's okay. Let's go on. It says this, verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. What I love here is Paul goes on to teach them another definition of giving, and he totally goes against this whole give-to-get model. He says, when you give, you're going to be enriched every way so that you can buy yourself more stuff. No. So that you can make sure that your standard of living goes up. No. He gives it to us this way. Giving increases giving. That's just another definition of giving, that when we give, it's so that we might give more. Everybody take your hand out in front of you and make a fist right here like this. All right, put a fist out. It's okay. Don't punch anybody. If you're not happy with the person you came with, do not punch them. Right now, it's real hard when your hand is closed to get anything in here. It's real hard to get any. Now, I want you to open up your hand and just turn it over, and I'll turn it back. Now, your hand's empty. You just let go of what you had. You can put your hands down. I'll put your arms to sleep. When you live with an open hand, and I believe this is right in Scripture, when you are faithful with a little, God trusts you with more. But if all we do, Jesus says, seek God's kingdom first, and all these needs will be taken care of. If we just hold on and say, you don't understand, I can't give, I can't trust, I can't give, God's saying, well, when you open that hand up and you're faithful with the little you have, I can start to trust you with more. I like the way Randy Alcorn says it. He says, God doesn't increase, when we give, it's not that my standard of living goes up, but it's that my standard of giving goes up. Like when we start to give, it's not, oh, if I just give, God's going to open my hand up and he's going to drop a nice new this in there and he's going to give me a couple more dollars. No, when we start to live open-handed and say, thank you, Lord, I'm going to give away. Thank you, Lord, I'm going to give away. You just start to watch how God starts to say, I can trust you with more, because it's not about us. It's about living radically generous lives. And what he tells the Corinthian believers is God is going to enrich you in every way so that you might be generous. He's going to make sure if you have a generous attitude, he's going to make sure you have enough finances to live generously. Don't believe the lie that says, well, I'll be generous once I get more money. No, if you're greedy with 100, you're going to be greedy with 1,000. That's just the principle there. It's not like suddenly more money is going to change the heart attitude. The heart changes, and then God says, okay, I can trust you with more. All right, so let's move on to this last piece here, verse 13. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. The phrase I want you to focus on is where it says, others will praise God. And I think this might be the most rewarding definition that we have of giving. And it's this, that giving advances the mission. That when we give, other people are going to praise God through radical generosity. And that's exactly what we're experiencing as a church. That because we create these weekend environments where you and your friends and family members might come to know God, you understand that we're setting the stage that people might give him praise. Adults and children, that we're making it so that when we give away resources and help other churches get started, it's so that people might praise God. We're not just kind of giving money away. No, we're seeing an eternal reward, an eternal investment on this. And that fires me up. That makes me so excited to know that we're advancing our mission. Our mission here at Blaze Church is what we say every week. It's that people would know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And that happens as we give. In fact, I like what I heard, that while pastors and leaders may cast the vision, it's givers that set the pace of the vision. Because we can cast a vision to be Blaze Church portable, but the reality is the financial resources are going to set the pace of how that happens. And so when you give through this local church, you are advancing the mission that God has put on our hearts to advance. And I can't think of something better to live for than the gospel, than Jesus Christ. I can't think of a better place to invest my finances personally than to say, I want people to know who God is. I want marriages to be restored. I want people who are sick to find healing in Jesus' name. I want those who are far from God and living for themselves to know that there is freedom found in the cross of Jesus Christ. I mean, I just can't find that anywhere else. Jesus started the local church, and the local church on mission is sharing the hope of the world whose name is Jesus. So if you noticed, when I started, I read verse 2. What was verse 1 about? I want to go back to just verse 1. Paul starts his whole teaching and he says this, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. And as I was preparing this message, knowing that it's a little different of a message, it's a little more teaching than it is preaching, if we could separate those things. We're just kind of learning some things here. But as I was reading that verse, I really felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, the grace that he's given Blaze Church is going to be a reminder to other churches and other people. like the radical generosity of what you are doing is actually encouraging and inspiring other churches. The same way that Paul said to the Corinthians, hey, look at the Macedonians. I believe that God is going to use Blaze Church to other churches on the east end of Long Island. And in fact, not just here, but around this country and even around this world to make a difference in their lives. Do you believe that? Because I believe it's happening. In fact, I'll share a story with you. So just a couple weeks ago, I get a phone call here in the office. Hi, is Pastor Keith there? Yeah. I'm Pastor Keith. What's going on? Sometimes I have fun and I say, no, he's not. Can I take a message? But it depends how much work I have. He's here. I try not to lie to people. It sounds like you. That's not me. But yeah, it's Pastor Keith. What's going on? Hey, I'm calling from a church in D.C. Okay, awesome. And we heard that you guys did an At the Movies series in the summertime, and we're looking to do an At the Movies series. Actually, it was the following week, and they were trying to get some material and some things together, and they were like, we wanted to know if we could use your At the Movies stuff. Like, can you send us your sermon notes? Can you send us the clips and everything? And I was like, who is this? Like, hold on, where are you calling from? Well, we're a church in D.C. We're a church of about 1,200 people, and we heard about what you're doing there. I'm like, in Flanders? I didn't even know where Flanders was, and I've grown up on Long Island. Give me some more context here. And so it ends up being that they're an ARC partner church like we are, and they know somebody who's higher up in ARC that knows me personally, and they were talking about this At the Movies series, and they said, yeah, you should call Pastor Keith and Blaze Church and get their resources. And so we're having the conversation, and I say, yeah, of course you can have our stuff. And the person kind of paused on the phone for a minute, and you still there? Like, yeah, you just don't know. I've called so many churches who have done At the Movies and asked them for their resources, and no one's giving it to us. And I said, well, shame on them. And I said, we're giving it to you. You can have the whole thing. So you guys resourced a church in D.C., 1,200, like more than almost, I don't even know, six times our size, radical generosity and encouragement to others. This past week, we had our oversight team here, Pastor Mike, Pastor Todd, and they were looking through our finances and kind of getting ready for a 2021 budget, and they were inspired and encouraged by the radical generosity of this church. Like, they were a little bit jealous, and I said, well, God just must not trust you guys the way he trusts our church here, because I'll share with you right now, to date, so till October, our church, year over year, when you take 2019 to 2020, remember, pandemic, our church building was closed for multiple months, all of that, we've grown by 35% in attendance and 34% in our budget. That's awesome. Like, that's crazy awesome. That's God saying, I'm trusting you with a little bit more. Let's see what you do with a little bit more. And they're like, you guys, they're telling Pastor Amy and I, you guys are going portable, you're advancing, you're growing. And like the world is shut down. Like, what has happened? I said, I don't know. If I could figure it out, I'd probably sell it to make some more money for the church. That was a joke. But that's awesome, guys. That's radical generosity. So here's our six definitions again. Giving is a sacrifice. It's a privilege. It is the gospel. It's got to be personal. Like, please hear me. This is not, if the enemy is trying to guilt you right now into giving through the local church, don't let him win. That's not the point of this. It's personal. You need to ask the Holy Spirit, how much should I be giving? I want to make a decision now to be a part of what's happening through my church. Giving increases giving, and giving advances the mission. And for us, it advances the mission of Blaze Church. And I'll say this too, if you feel like you can't trust this church and the financial team and the leadership team here enough to give, I would really encourage you, be a part of a church where you can, because it's that important. You've got to be a part of a church where you know I'm giving, I'm advancing the mission of this church. And so right now, we're just coming up on week two of our five-week Blaze Beyond campaign. And we've got this goal for Blaze Sunday, December 13th, where we're going to celebrate $30,000 given towards Blaze Church Portable. We talked about this at our legacy night. And if you weren't there or didn't get one of these, please make sure you get one of these on your way out. Because what we did, again, just nothing to hide. There's no agenda. In here, we've got all the, you know, some of the items that we're purchasing, what they cost, what the environments are going to cost, meaning the auditorium, the kids' space, the lobby. And then even down here, we have a QR code that you can scan. And if you really want to be bored or excited, you can read an 18-page itemized report of every single item that's being purchased to outfit that space. And it's everything. It's down to, my favorite one is a 76-cent Sharpie that's on there, fine point Sharpie that's going to be needed for something in production. But I want you to see that because I want you to realize that when we talk about legacy and we talk about giving, that we really believe God's calling our church to do something big here on the east end of Long Island. By we, I mean our church, like you. If this is your church, you're a part of this. And this is an offering. I want to be clear. This isn't a tithe. We said that when we started this. This isn't just going to redirect my first 10. No, we still have, who here still wants heat going into these months in this building, right? We still want lights. We still want that. That's your tithe or whatever the percent is. You say this first is going here. But now, Holy Spirit, I want to give an offering. I want to give an extravagant gift. There's really three layers we see in Scripture. That extravagant gift that's like, man, I want to blow this away. And I shared with our legacy dinner on Friday, and I'll share here as well, anything that comes in over this $30,000 goal, we're not holding on to it for our next phase of building. We could do that because it'll just kind of go towards the facility, but we really felt we want to give that away. And so that money's actually going right out the door to help a church in Africa get built and started. Come on, let's celebrate that together. We're saying we're taking this, and we just want to make sure that we don't hold on to things here. It's about God's church, not just us. And so I want to pray for you right now that we would have a radically generous spirit. It already exists in this church, and I'm grateful for it. I'm inspired by it. You inspire me to continue to give more and more in all that God is doing through our church. And so we're going to sing a song together called Hope Has a Name, because really all of this comes down to the name of Jesus. It comes down to that gospel going out and people knowing who he is. And so I want to invite our worship team to join me here, and we're going to sing in just a moment, but I do want to pray first. And before I pray for all of us to have a radically generous heart, I want to invite you, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that you're hearing the gospel this morning. You're hearing God loved you, and so he gave first so that you might know him. And if you have not received the gift of salvation, you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, you haven't acknowledged, I can't save myself, I need Jesus to be the Lord of my life, then I want to invite you to pray in this moment and to just whisper to him, Jesus, be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. We see in Scripture that when we call on him, we are saved. And so I'm going to ask you to pray with me. In fact, everyone, join me and say this. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died and rose again so I could be forgiven. Thank you for new life. Today, I give you mine. Thank you for making me new. In Jesus' name, amen. We believe that if you prayed that prayer and you honored God and just called out to him that you are saved, and we want to celebrate with you. Church, let's just celebrate with people putting their faith in Jesus Christ this morning. Come on, you are made new. We want to give you a resource, so when you leave today, make sure you go over to that Connect table. There's a little booklet there that says, what's my next step? Right now, I want to pray for every single one of us in this space and online that radical generosity in our hearts would continue to grow. So would you stand as I pray over you? Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person here and for those online. We ask, God, that you would speak to our hearts to make us radically generous. I ask that we would not be complacent or content with where we are right now in our giving. For some of us, it's 2%, it's 5%, it's 0%, it's 10%. Holy Spirit, just stir our hearts this morning. Cause us to respond to this message. May all of us be all in as it comes to advancing this mission you've given our church. Father, we thank you that it's more blessed to give than to receive. We won't experience that blessing. We cry out to you now that hope has a name. That name is Jesus Christ. It's him who we worship. It's him who we adore. Amen.